We're going to have part two of our message for this morning. I'll be asking you the same question at the beginning and then the end of the service. And Christ, charity, or love is the title of the message. And then, would charity be a good name for you or yours? Would charity, though it is commonly a girl's name, yet they ought to be able to call you charity, even you young men. And so I want to go on with what we had given this morning and pray that God will bless it as He did this morning. All is vain unless the Holy One comes. The Spirit of God moves in our hearts and does great things for us. Turn with me to 2 John, 1 Corinthians 13, and then 2 John, the epistle of 2 John, over near the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. 2 and 3 John, there's no chapters in them, they're just a small letter written, but I want to look at verse 1 and verse 6 of John 2, I should say the second epistle of John, and the third epistle, verse 1 and verse 6 of each of these. So let's stand together again. That'd be good for us. Most of us are pretty young. It won't hurt us. This is the second epistle of John. Read with me the first verse and then the sixth verse, and then we'll go to the third epistle of John and read the first verse and the sixth verse there as well. We'll read these in unison. If we can stay together, pausing at any punctuation at all in the sentence so we can somewhat stay together in our reading. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now down to verse 6. And this love, walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as they had heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And the main emphasis there is this, and this is love. Here I didn't quote it right myself, but that's the main thing. This is the definition of love. Now, third epistle of John, across the page possibly in your Bible. It is in mine. And this is verse 1 and verse 6 here. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And then verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy precious, wonderful, holy word. And we pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would do His work in our hearts, those that are lost, that they'd see their need of Thee, Lord. The Holy Spirit's the great interpreter of the Word of God. Brings us under conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. The fact that there's a burning hell waiting for those that do not repent and do not receive Christ as Savior. And dear Lord, that He's that great teacher to bring us to salvation and bring us to the Christ of Calvary, and that opening our eyes to see all that He is and all that He wants to be to us if we will repent and believe the gospel. So we pray thy blessing. Meet every need tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We said earlier that other definitions of charity is the same as love, and God is love. It's spoken to us twice in one of the epistles of John. So that is a fact. God is love. We see in another place that God is holy. And so we also see that our God is a consuming fire. And yet, this is one of the great truths of the Scripture, that God is love. He so loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The Bible says he neither cometh to the light, that his deeds might be reproved. A sinner doesn't want the light to be shine on, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he's also love and charity. And so we thank God for his greatness and his goodness and glory to us. But then the other definition that I want to start out with is the one in 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And the Bible says his commandments are not grievous. And so that is the definition. And then look at verse 6 of John, 3 John. It says here, which have borne witness of thy charity before the churches. If we're a charitable person, if we would qualify, as we said this morning, that our name would be charity, others will know about that, because they will be distinctly different from the rest of the crowd who are out to get everything they can everything they get, preserve everything they get, hoard everything up, and not to be kind and loving for the poor and for the needy and the uneducated and those that cannot help themselves. Well, we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We left off at verse number 6. And so we'll start in verse 7. These are the definitions of charity, what charity is and what it is not. Here it says, beareth all things. Beareth all things. In other words, here we have it again. Patience. Patience. Are you patient with other people? By the way, if something is mentioned once in the scriptures, that's sufficient. But we'll see tonight that as well as the very first one in verse 4, which says, charity suffereth long, that means it's patient. So here we see it again. Beareth all things. I looked all these words up in my Strong's Concordance, which give the definitions and the synonyms of the words that are given here in the Bible, so we know what these words mean to us. And here it says, beareth all things, in other words, endure patiently. We should endure patiently with people. Sometimes you have to be patient with yourself and realize that you're not going to be able to do what you want to do in the situation that you're at. You have not grown enough in the Lord to be what you'd like to be. You'll have to be patient with yourself, maybe. It's patient with others. We don't all just grow to maturity in a year or two. Very few preachers have the pulpit at 25 years old that Charles Haddon Spurgeon had. He had thousands at 25 years old. And that's very unusual. In fact, it's not very wise. He could take it, so the Lord gave him that great congregation at that young age, but most people can't take that. They're too proud. That's why there was too much of a novice. And so we need to grow. The Lord Jesus Christ did not start his ministry until he was 30 years old, and yet he was the God-man. He was perfect. There was no problem with him ever getting proud, for he was the God-man. He was God in the flesh. Jesus is God, was God, and forever shall be God. He said, I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. They took up stones to stone him when he said, I and my Father are one. So Jesus is God, but beareth all things here. I wonder if you're patient, then that's a good sign that you are charitable. And we maybe could name you charity. If you're impatient about everything, then you need to ask God for greater patience, so we could put that name on you, charity. We'll call him charity. We'll call her charity. or love. Second one, believeth all things, to have total faith in Christ. Total faith in Christ. Believeth all things. This pleases the Lord. This is charitable. This is charitable to God and to others when we believe the Bible, when we believe the claims of Christ, when we believe that He died for our sins according to the Scripture, when we believe that He was buried, when we believe that Nicodemus took Joseph of Arimathea took Him off the cross and put Him in His own borrowed tomb. If we believe the Bible when it says that He came in on a donkey, the foal of an ass, the Bible says. There were two of those beasts, by the way, if you check the record. And if I'm not wrong, He sat on one that had never been broken in any fashion. Miracle of miracles, but the Christ was a miracle Himself. And so the Bible says that He came into Jerusalem. We believe that because we, what? Believeth all things. We're filled with charity. Surely, as a born-again believer, we ought to believe everything that the Bible says. We believe in the flood, that God washed this earth clean of sin and sinners alike. When He washed the earth with a worldwide flood that covered every mountain. I don't have any trouble believing that. I don't have a bit of problem with that. Because God can do what He wants with His creation. And 100 years ago, we didn't have much to do with it all, did we? Hello? There were people living 100 years ago, you know, but you were not, neither was I. And so it really shows us how puny we are, doesn't it? How insignificant we are without God. With Him, we can be something and somebody. We ought to believe everything that the Bible says. Christ died for our sins. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He died for me. For God so loved the world. And Christ gave Himself a ransom for many, the Bible says. Christ died for our sins. Our sins. Why did He hang there on the cross? Because of our sins. He was crucified. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But we're not of those that perish. We're of those that believe unto life eternal. We believe the book. We believe it all. You know something? I think back, I was brought up in the Methodist church. And they told me the Bible was true. And you know, I never doubted it. I didn't know much about it. And I never heard much preached. But I always believed the Bible. They said it was true and I believed it. You know, after I'm saved, I should believe every bit of it. And going to the university shouldn't ruin us either. Amen. No, our faith, we believe the Bible. We believe it in its totality. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and New Testament. The creation of man by the direct act of God. His incarnation and virgin birth. His power to save men from sin. The new birth by the regeneration by the Holy Ghost. And the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. I believe it all, friends. I believe the Bible. I believe that when God spoke to my heart through preaching of the Word, I was under conviction. I wanted to know God. I just didn't know how to reach Him. They told me over and over, and it just didn't register. That doesn't mean I was good in my unconverted state. I was lost is what it was, and I needed to be found. But believes all things. I believe the Bible, don't you? Shame on those that don't. And shame on us if they've not heard. So they might believe. Believeth all things. Then, so hopeth all things. What does that mean? To expect or can have confidence. And to have hope, trust. We trust that it'll be done. We believe it'll be done. We hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. But it's not, well, I hope I'll be here next year. That's not what we're talking about. I have a pure hope that I will one day reside in heaven itself. It's not, I hope so. Maybe so. No, I have a pure and assured hope. I trust God's word that I'll be there by His grace. Because in 59, He washed my sins away and cleansed me from my sins in His own precious blood at the age of 16. Thank God for this hope. Hope. And then what? Charity is also, it endureth all things. What is endureth all things? Here we have it again. Oh, I tell you, it's just over and over again. If you are an impatient person, you better ask God for some patience. Here's what the definition is for endureth all things. It means to bear trials. If you're really Mr. or Mrs. Charity, and that's your name, and that's your lifestyle. By the way, you know, it says there in the scriptures that all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. What that really means, listen, even after you're saved, if you're not careful, you'll tell a lie. And we should. I'm not justifying it. But the truth of the matter is, that is a person's lifestyle. Drunkards and liars and the abominable and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, I'm not going that way. Have you ever told a lie in your life? If you say no, I know you're a liar. I know, because we all have lied. Come out of the womb speaking lies, the Bible says. But the truth of the matter is, my lifestyle is not lying anymore. My lifestyle is truth now, for Christ is truth. My lifestyle is love now, charity now, because Christ is charity. Christ is love, and we need to be more like Christ, and God is love, and we need to be more like God, as we said this morning. We need to be more godly like God. Therefore, we would want to be called charity. I think hope's a beautiful name, too. Love is a beautiful name. Oh, the scriptures. Hope is great. But here, what? Endureth all things. Bearing these problems, trials. Listen to what it says here. To bear trials, to have fortitude, perseverance, to take patiently or to suffer. You're not going to be a very good Christian if you don't learn to suffer at the mouth of others. Others will not always say nice things about you. You say, well, I can't stand a life like that when people won't say nice things about you. Well, whether you're saved or lost, there's going to be someone who's going to find fault with you. So you might as well be a Christian. We're more for you than the worldly crowd out there. They're all out for number one. Take care of themselves. And we should have a number of people around here that we could just say, boy, isn't he charitable? We'll just name him Charity. Amen. But maybe you didn't enjoy my message this morning, but I got a lot out of it anyhow, if you didn't. I've been asking the Lord to make my name Charity. Make my name to be love. Make my name to be truth. That I would be able to live up to that. I mean, why should anybody want to be called hateful? Or worldly wise man? Or pliable. I don't want to be pliable. I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? Who wants to be pliable? The other one's name in Pilgrim's Progress is ignorant. I don't want to be ignorant of His grace, ignorant of His word, ignorant of the fact that heaven is my home, ignorant that my sins are gone and can be washed away. No, don't call me ignorance. Call me wise man, amen, because I've repented and trust Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I believe that's the admonition. You better find the right kind of people and stay around the right kind of people. That's why it'd be a good idea for you to go out to the dormities on Friday night. Because other Christians are out there, and other Christians are people that have been washed of their sins. They're not perfect yet, but we're being perfected. And when we got saved, we were instantaneously born again, and our sins left. Our sins were taken, buried in the depths of the sea, never to be again remembered against us. We've been washed. Brother Hugh Wall and I were talking to that one fella as he prayed. That was the last fella, wasn't it? And he said, "Lord, clean me up." He said, "I'm a teenager. And there's a lot of things, a lot of temptations." Of his own volition, he told us right away, "I'm not saved," at the door. He said, "I'm not saved." And we talked to him. And when he prayed, he said, "Lord, clean me up." I didn't tell him to pray that part, did I? I said, "Just tell God you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And you need to be." And he said, "Lord, we teenagers, we get into a lot of mess. Lord, I'm a bad one too." Didn't he say that too? He said, "Boy, and I'm a bad one. I'm a sinful one," or something like that. Well, only God knows. But it was just good to hear that. Brother Hugh Wall thought that was great. He said, "Lord, clean me up." That's what we need if we're sinful. And here he was the same age that I was when I got saved. People are more tender when they're young. Don't you get the idea that everybody is as hateful as 50 and 60 and 70-year-old men and women? They are usually hardened in their way. Don't you feel like everybody has to be dealt with like a 50 or 40, 50, 60-year-old man or woman? They are usually hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. A young teenage boy, or even younger than 16, they know that they've done wrong. They're usually much more tender in their thinking. Though they maybe feel that their sin is enormous, which is good, for we've all sinned. But endureth all things, suffer. If you're a Christian, you're going to have to suffer. Christ suffered, and John the Baptist suffered, was put in prison. Paul suffered. Peter and John Peter was put in prison. James was put in prison. And then they beheaded James, and they were going to take Peter's head off. They did take John the Baptist's head off, and history tells us they took Paul's head off too. I'll tell you what, they'll just kill you. They killed the Old Testament prophets. Jesus told about that. We preached about that the other week. Well, that just shows your love for Christ. If you're willing to die for Him, be a martyr for Christ. Endureth all things. And then what? Charity never faileth. Never faileth. To be driven off one's course. No, charity doesn't fail. And we're not driven off of this course. Charity never fails. It's the same. It's constant. It's fruitful. It's not to lose. And not to become inefficient. Or to be cast aside. Or to fail or fall away or fall off. Or take none effect. No, charity always has its... It just always works. It always works to have a kind word. Don't you think it did with Stephen? Father, Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And here they're stoning Stephen. "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Paul was there holding the garments of those that were stoning Stephen to death, and I don't think Paul ever got away from that. The Bible said his face shone like an angel. When Stephen died, he was the martyr for Christ. And Paul the apostle, who was still Saul of Tarsus, he told later on how that he stood and held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. So just what? Charity never fails. He wasn't praying like Jesus prayed. He prayed, "Father, forgive them." And Stephen's prayed the same prayer. He could have prayed. Stephen could have said, "Lord, kill them all for this, especially Saul of Tarsus." Couldn't he? Come on now. For all we know, Stephen knew all about who that fellow was, Saul of Tarsus. for his reputation had grown. He had stood there when many were killed and many were jailed. When he got saved on the road to Damascus and the light from heaven, he was on his way to bring back to from Damascus those jail them, persecute them. And he became a Christian himself. Well, charity never fails. It'll work. It'll work. And then prophecies, though, they'll fail. Tongues, they will fail and cease. Knowledge will fail and vanish away, it tells us in the Scripture. Knowledge, being puffed up with knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Not having love or charity, by the way, it says here, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Not having love or charity is a very childish thing. Too many people are too childish in their walk with the Lord. We need seriousness about our soul. We need seriousness about the condition of others around us. Life is not just a game. It's a preparation for the next life, either in hell or heaven. That's what this life is for. This is all temporal. We're going to the eternal abode of God, or the eternal abode of the devil in hell for all eternity. I like what Evangelist Ron Comfort and the little kids, his kids sang when they were little. Now they're, I'm sure, very, very much in their 30s and what have you. And they used to sing, "Which way are you traveling, the broad or narrow way?" In the tape that I've listened to over and over again of John Bunyan, and Christian said, "Oh, but the road is so narrow. It's so narrow." And the evangelist or one of them said, "It wasn't too narrow for Jesus. It wasn't too narrow for the apostles." He says, "Oh, then it's all right. I'll go the narrow way." Say, this is a narrow road. Yes, the Bible says, Jesus said, "The broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And they asked Jesus, "Are there few that be saved?" The answer comes back from eternity. Yes, there are few that be saved. Therefore, if you're saved, you ought to rejoice that you heard the gospel and you're saved today. But the truth is, few be saved, because few will believe. Few will repent. Few will trust the Lord. Childishness. And then not having love or charity is carnal. It's carnality. Not having love or charity is partial. It's the bad part of life, is not having charity. Not having love. That's the bad part of life. The good part of life is being called charity. Owning up to that. Say, "Isn't she a charitable mother? Or isn't she a charitable young lady? Isn't she a charitable lady in waiting, waiting for God's choice to come along in her life? Isn't she a charitable young little child?" As we said this morning, if you have enough children, you'll probably be able to name at least one of them charity. But if you just have one, I don't know. You might get the other one. Cain was the firstborn of Adam and Eve, and he was a murderer. Thank God Abel came along. And after Abel, Seth. And I want you to know something else. Don't you blame Adam and Eve. I don't know why this is coming up. Don't you blame Adam and Eve for the sin of Cain. We've got this idea today abroad. The thing is, the general thing is, if you train them right, they'll go right. That's Bible. But that does not stand true with everyone that comes out of the womb of his mother and father, and comes into life by his mother and father. That is not true Sometimes our people, they're taught wrongly in the universities and they're taught wrongly in the churches. I want you to know the firstborn that God gave in this world was a murderer. And the fault was not Adam and Eve's fault. It was Cain's fault. They didn't put a mark on Adam and Eve. They put a mark on Cain. So you are to pray for your children. But the truth of the matter is, they just might not all end up as glorious as these present-day Bible spouters who don't really study the Scriptures properly and they misinterpret it and say every child that you have has to end up in a glorious, wonderful Christian walk with the Lord. Haven't some of you been taught that? Any of you been taught that? Yes? And you know what? It's just not so. Up there at the college, it sure didn't prove true, did it? The very one he thought was going to be taking his place is not anywhere near as holy as he ought to be. So don't put all your hope, and by the way, that preaching every Thursday night on the family, that's not of God either. The Holy Ghost will teach you what to preach, and he won't teach you to preach on the family every Thursday night. Say, how do you know? Because I've been preaching a while, and the same one who called him, suppose he called me. No, the Lord will some Thursday nights cause him to preach on the cross and the blood and forgiveness and mercy. Hello? You know why we have all the and these Christian psychologists? They're always talking about the family and the home. You know why? Because all the homes are busting up. No, we have a whole Bible to preach. We should preach on the home, but you don't preach on the home every service. Amen? Hello? I'll tell you what you better preach is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That'll cheer up the saints because we've been redeemed. We're brought in. Amen? And the preaching of the cross does us great good. By the way, not having love or charity is not being as great as God would want us to be. Or as good as God could make us if we are not charitable. If we're not loving. Instead, we're puffed up. Instead of being charitable. And we said earlier, knowledge puffeth up. Well, charity is the great attribute of God, like unto holiness. For as we said earlier, God is love, but God is holy. And we should be love and be like Jesus. Amen? They ought to be able to go and call you love. Are you children all loving? You children all loving? Hope there's not a mean one in you in the crowd here. What about you older ones? Older ones over here. Did they say you were the mean one in your family? Then you better pray excessively, because even after you're saved, you're going to have to ask God for special grace. If you were the cranky one in the family, oh man, you can't get along with her until noon. Are there girls like that? I don't know. It's usually the boys that I think are like that. I hope there's not girls like that too. Certain people get out of the wrong side of the bed every morning. We just get out on the other side, move the bed away from the wall and get out on the right side. Great. Some days ought to be. Somebody ought to love you and think you're wonderful once in a while before noon. We should never have it said of us that we are proud, selfish, hateful, or that we could be named this: mean, unloving, unkind, malicious, unconcerned about others. There were two. One of them was Diotrephes, and he loved the preeminence But then there was Demetrius, and he was well reported of among the brethren. You know, all you have to do is live in the church and be faithful to the church house, and someone will find you out. I mean, someone will find you out, and in their subconscious, they'll name you. Now, make sure they name you charity or love or kindness or patience or piety. Piety means godliness. Or could they call you Miss Purity? Purity. Wouldn't that be good for some young girl? Call her Purity. Or some young fella, Purity. Now, what they usually call the boys is Holy Joes. Well, that's all right. Call them holy. But we're dealing especially with charity. What would your name be if they were trying to pick you up and we set you up here in front of everybody at the church? We're not going to do this, by the way, for you visitors. We don't do this. We don't embarrass people. I'm just using this as an illustration. But if we put you up here and everybody, I mean everybody with complete honesty, their parents were not around or their spouse was not around, their husband or wife were not around, and they put you up here, what would they do with you, Brother Wall? Well, he's always comes in smiling, doesn't he? Even if he's half sick or half dead, he comes in smiling because he was in sin for a long time and he got saved 2 years ago by the grace of God. But here he is out there being careful. He doesn't stumble over things going from door to door yesterday, Saturday morning. But since you've been saved, you've been pretty cheery. Probably you were pretty cheery when you weren't in the boxing ring. I wouldn't want to meet you. Some of our other fellows said I wouldn't have wanted to meet him in his prime. He was a boxer. But, you know, since he's been saved, I just kind of sense he's usually on top of things when I go over to his house. You know, he doesn't tell me about all his problems. He didn't even tell me when he banged his head about 30 times, I think he said, that day, trying to do something in his little shed. But what about you now? What about you? Let's put you up here. And what are we going to say about you since you've gotten saved? Oh, that's miserable Annie. We don't have an Annie around as well, so miserable Annie. Not Anna, Annie. Amen? Huh? Oh, Susie, she's a crank. She's always talking about somebody, finding fault with somebody. Huh? Oh, I know what they'd call some of you, though. Talkative. But you need to be careful because that's not a very good name in Pilgrim's Progress. It's not a very good name otherwise. Amen? No, we'd be better off being called Mr. Meditation, Mr. Thinker. But the greatest would be, not even if they called you Mr. Faith or even Mr. Hope, but the greatest is, could they call you Mr. Charity? Now, you're supposed to be masculine, fellas. Be as masculine as you can be in this feministic America. Be tough. Hope you're in the army because you like to be tough. But in the midst of your strength and your toughness and your masculinity, you can be loving. You can be merciful. You can be kind. You can be a real Christian. And you can be a praise to the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee for thy love, mercy, and grace. Bless us, Lord. Make us a blessing. Pray if there's one without Christ, they'd see their need of being saved tonight. Trust thee as Lord and Savior. And we as believers, help us to, dear God, want our name to be that of charity or love. Because, Lord, you've saved us, and you've saved us that we would be a praise to thee. And Lord, if we're of a impatient or we're of a hateful or a mean spirit, Lord, that's not going to help anybody get to Christ. That's not going to help anybody on their way to peace and joy and happiness. So have thy way.